to know or not to know? Well, folks, proponents of this proposed legislation in Washington, D.C., call it the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Law. Opponents, on the other hand, call the legislation the Deny Americans the Right to Know, or the Dark Act. Question is, should government restrict what consumers may know about their food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1020th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in St. Petersport who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating Rut Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, me too, by golly. Pleasure to be here. Folks, it is the food fight to end all food fights. And today, you get to pick the winner. That's right, you get to pick the winner. On one side stand the 90% of consumers, give or take, who want to know. On the other side stand the producers of so much of the nation's food who do not want consumers to know. Today, it's your job to decide which side will win this epic food fight, consumers or producers. Now, most consumers live in cities where they have little or no connection with the origins of their food. I mean, how would we know, right? But they do want to know what's in the food, especially if those ingredients include genetically modified organisms or GMOs. To get this information, consumers around the country have been passing around petitions and voting in a number of states to require the labeling of GMO foods, as is already required by 64 countries throughout the world. Now, producers of a huge percentage of the nation's food, gosh, I think there are like 363 different organizations, seem disinclined to provide the information consumers want as to whether their food contains or does not contain GMOs. In fact, producers have spent in the neighborhood of $100 million to defeat GMO labeling initiatives in just a few of the states in the nation's 50 states. So imagine the trouble it would be to defeat all of these labeling initiatives that pop up like mushrooms after a storm in the forest. You put one down and there's another one popping up over here and then over here and then over here. So, you know, given the amount of money producers are spending to fight off consumers, it would seem quite natural for them to look for a more cost-effective way to fight. And so quite naturally, they do what we all do, which is we run to Washington, D.C. and ask Uncle Sam to fix things to make them fair. And in doing so, what they want Uncle Sam to do is to pass one federal law that will prevent all states from requiring the labeling of GMO foods. A pretty ingenious way of fighting, don't you think? Instead of running around chasing all of these individual states like California and Oregon and Vermont and Colorado and here and there and everywhere, let's just pass one law to govern all the states and to force them to our will. So producers of the nation's food call their proposed legislation the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Law. The consumers call this legislation the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, or the DARK Act. Today, we have a very special guest to help us consider who should win this epic food fight. Those of you who tune into the food chain know that we most always have somebody to discuss an issue and try to get both sides of that issue out. But today we're going to have the most special guest of all, which is you. What do you think the government should do with this proposed legislation? It's sitting on the desk there. Should they vote yes and to the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, or should they vote no to the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, or the DARK Act? That's the question on the table for you to answer today. We want you to pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665 and 831-479-1080. On the phones, would you vote? How would you vote for this bill? Do you want to know, or do you think that if we are allowed to know, that it will cause irreparable damage to the nation's food chain? If you think about it for a minute, it probably would cause a big mess in the nation's food chain, because so much of the manufactured food we have here in the United States is made possible essentially by genetically modified foods. The basic foods of the food chain, corn and soybeans, are used in so many things. Just turn a label around and look at what's in it. You see soy in there. If you see anything with soy, chances are about somewhere between 97% and 99% certain that you're going to be eating genetically modified foods, period. What about the soft drinks you drink and the things that are sweetened with high fructose corn syrup? Maybe 89% chance of what you're eating and consuming is made with genetically modified foods. And if you're a food processor, you have to keep track of all of this and you have to label it. That would be a tough job, but certainly something that could be done. But should we make them do it? What do you think out there? I want to hear your stories today about this incredibly interesting issue. No guests but you. You are the most important guest in the world on this subject, because you are the ones who eat food. And people make that food for you. They want to do it one way, and chances are about 90% you want them to do it another way. Will you vote yes for the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act? Or you come, well, vote no to the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act. So many states have tried, not many, I guess maybe five or six have put this issue on to the vote. Here in California, Oregon, Washington, a few other states, and the industry has stood up to these efforts by putting big money on the line, largely by the Grocery Manufacturers Association, which is an association of food manufacturers and processors who all chip in their money to this political organization who stands up for what they want. They do not stand up for what they want individually. For example, you will never get probably a Monsanto Corporation to stand up and say what they want to do. They do it through this front organization called the Grocery Manufacturers Association. So the GMA, as it's known, is putting up big money to fight these labeling initiatives throughout the country and winning, spending here on the West Coast, I think $100 million to fight these labeling initiatives. But way on the other side of the country, the little tiny itty-bitty state of Vermont voted yes to labeling. I think it was like 28-2 in the state assembly. Yes, we want to label our foods. So the Grocery Manufacturers Association went up against them and said, no, you can't do this, and they took them to court. And they went through the process, and lo and behold, a federal judge said, Vermont does indeed have the right to label genetically modified foods. This is huge, a huge, huge ruling by this federal judge, because now it's legal for states to label, force the labeling of genetically modified foods. It is legal. Oh my goodness. Now what does the Grocery Manufacturers Association do? Well, It can appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court. And who knows how that comes out these days. Or it can go to the federal government and pass a law that supersedes all state laws. And that is exactly where we are at today. The safe and accurate food labeling law would prevent all states from doing what tiny Vermont has done. So the question on the table for you today, and you indeed are the guest, all the guests, will be to pick up your phone and call us and say, should the government restrict the state's rights to require the labeling of GMO foods? It is the fight, the food fight to end all food fights, and we're going to end it here today with your vote. So how will you vote? Will you vote to allow states to label, or will you vote with to say, no, you may not label? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1088. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, and you are the guest. Pick up your phone and join us.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
The fight is on. Oh, yeah, it is the biggest food fight in the history of the world, I think, at least given the extent to which the food producers are fighting the consumer's desire to know what's in their food. Think about it. You know, we city people really have lost track of what's in our food, don't really know. So how can we know other than to look at what's on the label? One of the things we seem to want to know a lot about is that whether the food contains genetically modified foods or not. Is it in there? We want to know. And so we ask, but they don't want to tell us. And so the fight is on. Should the federal government step in and, as the industry requests, forbid states from labeling foods? Here's what the proposed law says: preempts any state or local requirement respecting a bioengineered organism intended for food use or application. So, in essence, states can't say require food manufacturers to say a thing about the genetically modified foods they use. Also, sets forth standards for any food label that contains claims that bioengineering was or was not used in the production of food. Ooh. Preempts any state or local labeling requirements with respect to bioengineered food. So, in effect, no comment whatsoever. So that's what's on the line for us today, and you're invited to pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This morning, I think we're going to start with Jim. Jim, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program.
Yes, hello.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, got you. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think that absolutely we should know what we're eating. I think the reason why these people don't want any labeling is because consumers, given the choice, they're going to choose the non-GMO, and the only way that they can sell all this GMO at this point, I think, is by people not knowing what they're getting. And as soon as they find out, then they're going to obviously choose the non-GMO, and that's why there's so much money against labeling.
Well, let me throw this out to you, and this is something I've thrown to the industry itself. What genetically modified organisms have allowed agriculture to do is really take the people out of farming and replace them with chemicals and whatnot. By virtue of example, when I was growing up, I was a teenage herbicide. I would have to go out into the fields with a sharp hoe and cull the weeds. Today, farmers don't have to do that. They can just spray glyphosate, kills all the weeds, and that's that. So it makes it a lot cheaper because one farmer can now grow 1,000 acres of crops with no weeds, making cheap food possible. So how would you feel, Jim, if you went to the grocery store and you found your box of Wheaties that would cost $1 for a box of GMO Wheaties and $3 for a box of regular Wheaties? Would that make a difference?
Well, I suppose, some of what you say is possibly true. The price might go up a little bit, but then again, most wheat, well, actually, I don't think any wheat is GMO, and the price is pretty cheap on wheat products. And I think as far as the weed killer goes, it's allowed farmers to be lazy. They don't have to go out and set their cultivating times accurately, and they can just put these spray bars out and run across their field and have less skill and less, technical, they can be lazy. They don't have to be as smart as they used to be to get all the weeds out. And I don't really think, I think the GMO could be a little bit cheaper, but I don't really think it's going to be that big a deal.
Okay.
And I'm willing to pay a few cents more personally.
You're willing to make the payment.
Absolutely.
So how are you going to vote? Are you going to vote yes for the safe and accurate Food Labeling Act, or are you going to vote no on the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act?
Okay, yeah, well, I want to vote to know what I'm eating. I don't know what the labels exactly mean, but what the acts are. But I want to know if I'm eating GMO. I want it labeled. That's where I come down.
Good to go. Thank you so much for that call. Really appreciate it, Jim. All right, there you go. So we have one vote against that safe and accurate food labeling law. Let's try Mary. Mary, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for doing this show. I think it's really important for consumers to be able to voice their opinion, and we don't get an opportunity to do it in a way that I think helps us all understand. And so I really wanted to ask you for your knowledge today about how the industry is kind of confusing us, in my opinion, with how they define GMOs versus GEs versus GMs. And I think that's really important. And I also think it's important that language, that definition is so difficult for us as consumers. And I think it's been honestly intentionally done by the industry. And I don't know, maybe you have something to say about that.
Well, I do. First of all, of course, the argument has been, well, we have been genetically modifying our food crops forever, which is absolutely true. We've always looked to take the best from this year's crop to produce next year's crop. In doing that over the millenniums, we have developed some mighty fine crops, and those processes have even been fine-tuned to a great extent through the Green Revolution, through the efforts of people like Norman Borlaug. So the contention that we have been genetically modifying crops forever is absolutely true. What is different with respect to genetically modified foods or GMOs, as they have colloquially become known, is that we are taking the genes from one species and infusing them into the genes of another species to essentially make a third species that may or may not look like the original whatever, but it is genetically different. For example, if we infuse the genes of an eel with that of a salmon, you get a hybrid between two species that would otherwise never mate. And so that's really the big difference as to what's going on with respect to GMOs and GMs. Of course, we've been always fighting to improve the species of our principal food crops, always, and our flowers and everything else we do, because we want to get the most for the least.
So Michael, what are they doing then to a crop? For instance, let's just take Roundup or glyphosate. What do they do to genetically modify a seed like corn? How is that engineered or modified, and how is that different than like the hundreds of maize or corn that grow in Mexico?
Well, and that's the great question, and that is the question that concerns everybody. You know, I have a great story about that, and I will pick that story up when we come back from this break. Mary, you can hang on, or I can give you the story off the air, but it goes right to the heart of what your question is. What are they doing to our seeds that is different? Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Today, the special guest is you. So we want you to pick up your phone and join Mary and Jim and Nick at 800-624-2665, 800-624-2665, or 831-479-1880. We want to know what you think the federal government should do. Should it enact the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, which would prevent all states from having their say about what's in your food? Do stay tuned, right back. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the food fight to end all food fights, and today you get to pick the winner. That's right, you get to pick the winner. Just pick up your phone and dial 800-624-2665 or 831-479-1080. On one side stand the 90% of consumers, oh yeah, there are a lot of them, who want to know. On the other side are the producers of so much of the nation's food, who do not want consumers to know. Today it's your job to decide which side will win this epic food fight, consumers or producers. The proposed legislation, it's H.R. 4432, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, proposes that all states be forbidden from mentioning or for requiring any labeling of GMO foods. The opponents of this legislation call it the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act. And before we go to the phones at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1880, I'd like to answer Mary's question, which is, what exactly are they doing with seeds? A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to sit in as a guest, on a panel on GMOs at the International Biotech Convention in Chicago. The U.S. Farmer and Rancher Alliance put together this panel to discuss GMOs, the impact of them on the food chain. On the panel with me were big, huge intellects of the GMO world. We had a professor from UCLA. We had the president of the American Pork Growers Association, the Corn Growers Association, the soybeans. There were a couple of us journalists to add spice to the stew, as it were. And so after listening to these very big people talk about the impact of GMOs on the nation's food chain, we were all asked to give a little summation, and my summation went something like this. You know, I believe that you folks in the biotech industry and agriculture have a true miracle technology on your hands. As a young person, I spent many hours and long days in the hot summer sun hoeing weeds. And what you have done is figured out how to do away with me. In what you have figured out is how to change the nature of your crops so that you can spray an herbicide over them. The herbicide will kill the weeds and not kill the crops. That's a miracle. You've also figured out how to infuse every cell of a plant with a biological pesticide that kills bugs by decomposing their stomachs. So were a bug to eat any part of your crop, any plant, a leaf, a stem, a root, it will die and the stomach will just be decomposed. So there you have this incredible technology. You have a crop that you can put in this in the field that will kill all the bugs, and you can spray it with herbicide and it will kill all the weeds. And in this wonderful technology that you have developed, you're now able to grow, one person is able to grow 1,000 acres of crops with no weeds. That's truly a miracle. And it's a miracle that has made your life very easy, and it's made you very wealthy. But sooner or later, consumers are going to wake up to their side of the bargain. And they're going to look at their side of this bargain, and they're going to say, what's in this for us? What's in this technology for us? Other than food that has been drenched in herbicide and infused with a pesticide. And so I believe that in my presentation, sooner or later, consumers are going to confront you with this, with their side of the bargain. What are we getting out of this? And you're going to have to come up with an answer. And I think that they've been struggling for an answer. And I don't know if they've come up with one. So that's my notion of what's happened. And what is yours? The phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. It's a good deal if you're on the right side of the tracks. And we're going to go to Nick. Nick, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael. Not reading it, it sounds like I'd vote safe and accurate. But you're telling me if I voted safe and accurate, that would allow states that didn't want to label to not label.
If you vote yes for the safe and accurate food labeling law, you're voting to restrict the or preempt any state or local government requirement respecting a bioengineered organism. So in other words, if you vote yes on this safe and accurate food labeling law, you're voting to prevent states from requiring the labeling of GMOs on their food labels.
That's the trick. What was the terminology of the no side?
Well, those who do not want to see this law passed call it the Deny Americans the Right to Know Act or the DARK Act. So, and, you know, it's kind of funny whenever you look at a government law, they always come up with names for them, right? Mm-hmm. And the names always pretty much are just exactly about the opposite of what the real law's about.
Right.
You know, I guess you could come up with all kinds of different examples of that, but well, this is a good one. The safe and accurate food labeling law is really preventing states from requiring an accurate labeling.
Well, what we have now is we got what we have to label is coming into fine print that you really got to get a magnifying glass out to read some of the stuff and we gotta take the approach that it shouldn't be in the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
There's more room on the label than to so you know we're going to the store and we're not reading it. Well, we just pick it up and go.
Well, there are a lot of people who do that. And,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who don't care.
Well, I'm like that a little bit because it's fine print, but I get it home and read it, or I just don't always carry a magnifying glass.
Yeah, and I guess it goes there. But the trend is, you know, let's think about this for just a minute. Who has the power in the equation of a business transaction? Let's say you go into a supermarket and order, holy smokes, it's time to take a break. Can you hold on for a minute, Nick? Because
yes.
This is a most excellent question that I would like to talk about with respect to the power of knowledge and who is in control when there's knowledge involved. And that's to know or not to know. It's really about everything involved in this food safety or this food labeling law. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Got Nick on the line. We're going to be talking about the food safety or the food labeling law now in front of Congress. The Grocery Manufacturers Association, which represents a whole bunch of food processors, would like the federal government to pass a law that would preempt any state from requiring the labeling of GMO foods. What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. Today we're talking a little bit about the effort to manage who may or may not know about the GMOs in your food, in our food. About 90% of us, they say, who knows, that's a lot of people, right, would like to know whether our food contains GMOs. But industry would prefer that it not have to label its foods with whether they contain GMOs or not. And so that's the war. The war had been taking place throughout the world of initiatives from state to state, and by golly, the industry had been winning. They spent over $100 million, beat back major initiatives to label GMOs in big states throughout the nation. But tiny little Vermont said, to heck with you, we require labeling. Little tiny Vermont then had to fight off the Grocery Manufacturers Association in federal court, and Vermont won. This means, in essence, that the industry produces so much of our food, has but two courses of action to take, I think. One is to appeal the federal ruling to the Supreme Court. Who knows how that would work out? Or it can go to Washington, D.C. and find a few friendly congressmen, and they have. I think 54 congressmen have signed on to the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Both Democrats and Republicans, so it's a bipartisan effort to restrict all states from having any say at all in the labeling of GMO foods. So that's where we are. And the phone number is today, 800-624-2665. I'm going to pick up Nick again. Nick, are you still there?
Yes.
Good. You had a very interesting comment with respect to you like to know, but gosh, it's hard to read all of that stuff on the label. And I just like to make a point with respect to the importance and the value of knowing and how it changes the dynamics of a transaction over food, for example. Let's say, for example, Nick, that you go to the supermarket and you want to buy some strawberries. Now, if you go to the grocer and say, I want to buy some strawberries, the power in that request now lies with the grocer, because the grocer hears, oh, he wants to buy strawberries. So he can go out into the world and find strawberries from anywhere he can and buy for the least amount of money and sell it to you for the most amount of money that he possibly can, and thereby have a great margin on what he has to offer. But what if Nick goes into the grocery store and he says, I would like to buy organic strawberries from Mary's Merry Meadow Farms? gosh, the grocer goes, now what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go to Mary's Merry Meadow Farms and buy what it, strawberries from her to sell to Nick because that's what Nick wants. So, see, do you see how the power in that transaction changes completely when Nick goes into the grocery store and demands something specific rather than something generic?
Well, a little bit. I see that at that time the retailer got to take a poll and see how many else will buy it.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't rot on the shelf.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. But the fight is then on, right? Because if Mary's out telling all kinds of people to buy her strawberries and she convinces people for one reason or another that her strawberries are much better than just strawberries, and people start going into the grocery store and say, I want Mary's Meadow organic strawberries. That's what I want.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
I hope so. Who wrote this this Safe and Accurate, because it's so deviant, it's not even hypocrisy.
Well, it's co-sponsored by Republican Mike Pompeo of Kansas and Democrats G.K. Butterfield. It has 54 co-sponsors, and it has 373 supporting organizations throughout the United States who are backing it.
There's a situation in Kern County where they're using recycled water through Chevron, and they're finding benzenes and acetones, and it's ruining the reputation of farmers. Yet the government's saying it's safe, and I'm not even certain if organic is protected. I mean, might still label it organic.
Well, with respect to that, you know, you can, and if you look at China, look at what we have done here in the United States. We have chased away so much of our industry because it's dirty. Then we run down to the box store and buy made in China because it's cheap. Now, a lot of the organic foods that we buy in packages at the grocery store does come from China. And China has recently reported that I think something like 80% of its surface waters and 20% of its arable farmlands are irretrievably contaminated with toxic heavy metals. And yet you can still grow organic foods in those soils and with those waters because you're not adding pesticides. Do you understand the difference there?
Yeah, that's another way of trick.
Yeah, sure is, isn't it? Well, Nick, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. We're going to take our last break. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson. Today we're talking about the effort by the producers of so much of America's food, the base commodities, corn, soybean, canola, to restrict the state's abilities to label GMOs. And if they win, then it's over for labeling. But if they lose, then it's over for not labeling. Right back. Well, folks, who do you think should win the food fight of all food fights? Should it be the consumers who want to know what's in their food and so have been passing around initiative petitions and having votes on whether foods should be required to label their GMO contents? Should the labeling say this food contains GMOs? 90% of the consumers want to know, but those who produce food, the farmers, the seed salesmen, the chemical salespeople, the food processors, everybody throughout that major food chain, not so certain they want to know. In fact, they don't want you to know. And the reason they don't want you to know is probably it would confuse you and you might reject their product. And so they don't want you to know. Simple as that. So they've shot down three or four big initiative attempts in the state. California, Oregon, Washington, the big liberal states on the West Coast have been subjected to $100 million worth of advertising, and folks bought the advertising and rejected the initiatives. But tiny little Vermont stood up and said, we want to know. And tiny little Vermont then became the subject of lawsuits by the Grocery Manufacturers Association, took them to court. And in April, federal judge came down and said, no, Vermont does have the right to require labeling. And of course, if Vermont has the right, that means all the rest of the states have the right too. And so those who do not want to have labeling have essentially two courses of action left. One is to go to the Supreme Court with a federal judge's ruling. So I'm kind of danger in that. What if the Supreme Court said, yeah, well, the states do have the rights to know. Then what would the opponent or the proponents of the effort to restrict do? What would they do then? Well, the one thing that makes a lot of sense is why not just go to Washington, D.C. and find some friendly legislators and convince them to carry some legislation that would restrict the right of all states to be able to label GMOs. And so that's exactly what they have done. They have convinced Representative Mike Pompeo from Kansas, and also, who was the other one? Democrat G.K. Butterfield, to sponsor the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Came up last year, didn't go anywhere, brought it right back this year. And so here we are considering this legislation. Should it pass? Should it be rejected? That's really the issue on the table for the politicians to come to grips with. And what do we think out here? Do we even comprehend kind of what's going on there? Hard to, if you think about it, because it's so confusing. But what it all boils down to, all of it comes right down to the question of, should government restrict what consumers may know about their food? Some say yes, some say no. What do you say? Always like to hear from you. You can tune in with us at metrofarm.com. Let us know what you think. This has been the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, want to thank you for joining me today as we flew solo with you. Really appreciate it. Want you to remind you of Michael Olson's first law of the food chain. Agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. No food, no sandcastles. Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.